Porch Light Family Media,
your source for family-centered content.
PorchLightFamilyMedia.com.
And now, Audio Theater Central.
Oh, hi there. I'm John Avery Whittaker. But most folks around here call me Whit.
My name is Finian Jones, and you are...
Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, your host for Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
Hello, welcome to Audio Theater Central. This is the show that's all about family-friendly audio drama. I'm JD.
And I'm Roy.
And I'm Andrew.
This is episode 85. We've got so much lined up in this episode that, man, we just need to get right into it. We've got a review of The Cat of Bubastes from Heirloom Audio. We've got some feedback from Richard, Rachel, and Ian Boltman. We've got some more audio drama tidbits coming up later in the show. And we've got a newscast from our intrepid reporter.
Aha, yes. Out on the streets day and night.
That's right.
Looking for things.
Digging
to
stories
report.
Up.
Yeah, digging mm-hmm. them up. Yeah. Hey, that's what they'd pay me for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doing the night beat?
Yeah. Night beat. Oh.
Had to throw in that little OTR reference.
Yeah.
Well, before we jump into that newscast, got a quick question for you, Andrew. Listener Jackson, he had a question for you. He wanted to know, are you related to Finian Jones?
Distantly.
All right.
You know, that's where they actually got Finian's last name. They listened to our podcast and like, mm-hmm. Jones.
That's good
last name.
Yep.
how distantly are we talking about?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably as distantly as Roy and I are related.
Are we related?
Yeah. Don't you remember working that out in history class?
Yeah. Andrew and I are actually related. Yeah, somehow.
That's right. How many times? What was the degree of separation? It was like 10 or 12 times yeah. removed. Yeah. But it's there.
It's That's there. Pretty cool. Yeah.
That is cool. I didn't know that.
Yep.
I didn't go to high school with you guys.
Aren't we all related somehow or some way in some another some way?
From our father, Adam.
Yes.
That's right. What was it? Let's see. My step-grandfather's grandson married your cousin?
Oh, yeah. My cousin's
daughter?
Grand-something?
Granddaughter?
Yeah, I know. I remember what you're talking about. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. That's right. Okay.
So, great Uncle Finian, huh?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, so that means I'm related to Finian Jones.
That's right.
You do. Hook me up. I want to ride Rolo.
Yeah.
Lifehouse Theater on the Air is heading into production again. The producers of Rikki Tikki Tavi, Hiding in Plain Sight, and Job, A Modern Man, have announced that they will be producing the biblical story of Ruth as their first audio drama since 2012. Projected release is spring 2017. The official Adventures in Odyssey podcast released a tribute to Alan Young and Janet Waldo, the voices of Jack and Joanne Allen. If you've not heard it yet, it is a must listen and bring your tissues. Brother Francis, the Barefoot Saint of Assisi, a 10-part audio drama written and directed by Paul McCusker, is slated for a November 2016 release. This is the first release from Augustine Institute Radio Theater, AIR, Air Theater, the new audio drama group headed by Paul McCusker after his departure from Focus on the Family. The team has already begun work on an 8-part series on the life of St. Patrick, starring John Rhys-Davies, which is scheduled to release spring 2017. That's it for the news this time. I am Roy, reporting for Audio Theater Central.
So much stuff happening.
I didn't know that St. Francis of Assisi thing was going to be 10 parts.
10 parts.
Isn't that crazy? That is a long audio drama.
Man.
Yeah, definitely. That's pretty cool.
Unless they're 5-minute parts.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, depends how long the parts are.
That is very true. Could be 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
Crime does not pay. The shadow knows, and I cannot do that laugh. I'm not even going to attempt it.
Yeah, no. Come on, Andrew. It's been too long since I listened
to it. Come on, Andrew.
I don't even remember what it sounds like.
That's pretty close. That's pretty close from what I recall.
It depends on who's doing it.
Yeah. Very true. Oh, man. The Extraordinary Adventures of G.A. Henty. They just keep pumping them out. Heirloom Audio Productions. Oh, my goodness. I love their stuff.
Our people. Man. New favorites, man.
Yeah.
Like, no offense, but they're better than FOT, FRT.
Whoa.
Because they're actually producing content.
Oh. Yeah. It's so funny, man. It's like, you talk to some people and they are just stuck like with Odyssey and like Radio Theater and they can't think of like anything
can't
else.
Break
I'm like,
out.
Have you heard of Lamplighter Theater? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, just like, have you heard of The Extraordinary Adventures of G.A.? You've got to listen. Listen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're a fan of Focus on the Family Radio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, like, there's no way to not love G.A. Henty.
Yeah. This is like. Yeah, this is like Focus on the Family on steroids.
It's epic.
Yeah.
Totally.
Very true.
Oh, yes.
Well, we're going to talk about the cat of Bubastes, or Bubastes, if you're British. That's how they say it.
Yes, that's right.
Released September 2016, and it runs a little over 2.25 hours. It's a long audio drama. Great stuff.
Yes, it is, which is good. That's what you want.
And you know what? I never get disappointed when I hear one of their shows. I mean, it's just always so, so good. So, if you have not heard this one yet, our amazing summary giver is going to give a summary of The Cat of Bubastes.
From the shimmering sands of ancient Egypt comes an epic tale of mystery, intrigue, and suspense. The young prince Amuba and his faithful mentor Jethro are captured by the Egyptians and enslaved in the beautiful city of Thebes. They soon find themselves trapped in a murderous plot to attack the family of their Egyptian friend, which will severely test their loyalty. Along the way, Amuba and Jethro discover the mystery and the wonder of God's providence.
Very, very well done.
Wow.
Both your reading and the audio drama.
More so the audio drama.
So who wants to kick this off? Who has the very first thought to summarize this thing?
The very first impression, the very first word.
Okay.
I'm not saying I do. I'm just.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. The first word that leaps to mind when I think of this audio drama is cat.
But it's really funny,
Very logical.
Like, the cat only has like a 2-minute part.
But at the same time, the cat is the pivot of the whole story.
I know. Yeah. But that's what's funny about it. It's like, why is this story even called this? Like, this doesn't make any sense.
I totally thought the same thing.
I was waiting for a cat. I'm waiting for the cat. I'm waiting for a cat called Bubastes.
Yeah.
I'm still not hearing it.
But it's a cat of Bubastes.
Yeah, I know.
But it is the point on which the whole story hangs.
Exactly.
Falls.
It's the nail in the shore place, as they say.
Yes.
The hinge.
Is it a nail or a hinge?
The hinge that turns the door.
The nail that's holding up
the nail in the hinge.
Well, let's listen to the official trailer of this production.
G.A. Henty takes you away to the shimmering sands of ancient Egypt. A young prince is ripped away from his family, his country, and all that he knows.
How old are you?
16, my lord.
You are now my servant.
When everything is taken from you, you find out what you truly believe. Heirloom Audio presents The Cat of Bubastes, a tale of conspiracy.
We have come here to avenge the murder of my father.
Betrayal.
Run, Jethro! This is my last command! Run!
And a mighty Egyptian prince with a secret past.
Stand back now!
Featuring Anthony Daniels from Star Wars.
My name is Mutep.
John Rhys-Davies from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Last night, I heard a jackal call 3 times.
And Elizabeth Council, star of the Chronicles of Narnia audio series. Live the adventure. Go to thecatofbubastes.com. Thecatofbubastes.com.
So boring.
Don't even waste your time.
Not.
Did you notice the last little bit of the tone of that trailer sounded very similar to your theme music this time?
Wow, that's like
that. It kind of fades out with that little that's shimmery.
An amazing kind of coincidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Good choice.
I have no idea why I decided to point that out.
Good choice on the theme music.
So the crew on this production was executive producer Bill Hyde and our buddy Philip Glassborough, who just, this guy turns up everywhere.
Yeah.
Yes. Can we get him on the show?
Yeah. That would be amazing.
Oh, man.
That is so funny that you would say that because I actually have him on the list. I have his contact info. And I didn't even tell you this. I haven't even told you guys this yet, but I was planning to contact him.
Ooh, that'd be so cool. Oh, my word.
I know.
Talk about getting starstruck.
I know, yeah. Right? Like, how do you talk to Malachi?
I know.
No kidding.
Side note for the listener, what should we ask Philip Glassborough when we get him on the show?
Yes, email us good questions.
Yes.
Woo. So he was the London director and casting director. John Fornoff, producer and director. And Nick Hyde, once again, wrote the script on this one. And of course, John Campbell with the original musical score. Great, great music in this one.
Oh, can I just say that? Can I just say that Nick Hyde is becoming a really amazing writer?
Wow. I'm very impressed. Yeah.
I mean, it's good stuff. I don't know how to say this correctly, but I wouldn't have known because his writing is on par with, you know, Paul McCusker and John Fornoff and et cetera, et cetera. So it's amazing. He's good.
Yeah.
The dialogue, all of it, just amazing.
Perfect.
Sound design and Foley by Rob Jorgensen.
Ooh. Go Rojo.
Rojo Studios.
Oh, yeah.
And Mark Drury, recording engineer. And once again, the package design, which is, I think they have some of the best artwork of any series going right now.
Very consistent, too. Yeah. Like a very consistent theme.
Yeah, with the flag and everything. It's really cool. And I like, it's actually kind of cool to just have the artwork up.
Yeah.
When you're listening to it, it's actually really neat. Like, I like having it displayed. We were listening to it in science class when the kids were doing their work. Not this particular one, but Under Drake's Flag, I think. I just put the album art up on the projector because it's so cool.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That is so cool. Steve Tyrell, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce it, but he's the graphic designer. And he's able to just capture the quintessence of this story in one image. I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah, he's good. He's bueno. And I have to say that I thought it was really cool that they got Anthony Daniels for the part that he played. That's pretty awesome. I really like Star Wars as well. The original NPR audio dramas are very good. His character is quite humorous.
Very true.
Very eccentric, which fits. Which fits with his Star Wars character. It's kind of interesting. I also, I like hearing the voices from the past Henty shows playing different parts. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Cause the actor who played Emeris is
Ian
the same. Yeah. Ian Colan, the same as Sir Francis Drake. So, it's kind of cool. He actually has like that sort of fatherly voice that it's perfect for that type of role. So, but we wouldn't expect anything less since Philip Glassborough is the one who's directing the casting of all this stuff. So he always finds the right people. And it was kind of cool to hear the White Witch again.
I know. It's like, what is she doing in here?
Elizabeth Council. It's so funny. She always plays a bad person.
I know. The poor lady probably gets like cast for that all the time.
Well, that's what happens when your voice is really good for that.
Yeah.
Like, Earl Bowen.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Dude, that's what Gia Henty needs, Earl Bowen, in their one of these next upcoming dramas. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Would be. He's really old. Yeah. It would be amazing.
But he could still do really good, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
There was a lot of familiar names in this one, actually. I mean, Russell Bolter plays Moses, and we just recently talked about Ben-Hur.
Yeah.
And we get to hear from him again.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's in the casting and they mention it in like the materials and stuff. So it's not much of a spoiler, I guess, but Moses is in this story. So
yeah,
it's so weird, but he like has like a 2 minute part. Like
I know
what
I know,
in the world.
That's
like
what I thought too, but it's really important part.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Well, when you think of Egypt and stuff, I mean, like that's all we know. Like we know Moses, but like
and Joseph and Moses really our main exposure.
But now we're like hearing like now we're like just part of Egypt.
I love that kind of stuff. Like
yeah.
The cameo appearance of a really important character is just really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially, I don't know, the way that they did this, when they're talking about this secret affinity of certain people who've been influenced by Joseph.
Oh, yeah,
in Egypt society who actually worship the one true God is just, it's so amazing and believable.
Yeah.
Which is what it always has to be believable, right? I mean, and the way that they set it up makes a lot of sense. It's really cool.
Yeah. So, in case you don't know, so the whole story is the main characters are captives. They're slaves from another area, from a village near the Caspian Sea. Amuba is a 16-year-old prince who is captured and brought back to Egypt as a slave.
Whose father was killed by the Egyptians.
Exactly.
Oh, here's a tie-in. Have you guys thought about Jethro maybe being the Jethro from the Bible?
I did. I totally thought of that.
He's like, Jethro, that's a powerful name.
I know. Isn't that interesting?
The priest of Midian. It could totally be. Like, it's so cool. Because Midian is actually in between Egypt and the Caspian Sea anyway. So, it's to the east of Egypt.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be that he, you know, went back.
Yeah, I
they don't ever explicitly say that, but it's kind of cool to speculate, right?
Yeah. And John Rhys Davies is actually playing a major role in this one. Well, I mean, not like a super main character, but he's in several scenes. Rabba, or is that how you say it? Rabba?
Rabba.
The hunter who is training Amuba and Chebron.
Who knows all things.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because he heard the jackal call.
He heard several things.
When the moon was just over something or other.
I saw the toad leap over to the pond.
Because he saw a spotted something or other. And so, as you know, that means da-da-da-da-da something.
Yeah. I heard the owl call. Not once, not twice, but three times.
Earth.
Is that the jackal?
I think it was. Oh, jackal, yeah.
He talks about the owl, talks about the jackal. He talks about
he's very in
hippopotamus
with what's going on. That's right. He does talk about the hippo.
That's right.
You're one of those characters that kind of adds a little bit of comic relief, but unintentionally. Like it's not he's not trying to be funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I'm just ignorant on this area of history, but I had never heard of the Rebu people. Had you?
No, and I don't know if it's fictional people or not. I didn't look that up.
Yeah, I didn't
probably
either.
Should have.
But Amuba was the prince of the Rebu people, and he's captured. And it's interesting, though, how he is brought into this culture, and he embraces it to a certain extent, but he also keeps it at a distance, too. Like, Egypt will never be my home, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a little bit of a contrast to Beric, who really accepted the Brits and their culture, which was very different from his own. So I thought it was interesting. Why is it always these stories have slaves in them and how they're being captured?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Huh.
And we didn't even mention this, but there's no Ned and Gerald again.
Yeah.
So
they were only in the first two stories, right? I mean,
I can't recall.
They were in Under Drake's Flag and William Wallace.
And Dragon and the Raven. Because they were on the ship, remember? He took him on the boat.
No, it's not Ned and Gerald, though. It's they like changed the names to be more Middle English.
But it was still the same characters, though, right?
Yeah, it's the same boys. Yeah. The boys, I guess, didn't change until the actors didn't change until the Civil War story, I guess.
So I'm wondering if they're kind of phasing that out, or he's always just going to be writing a letter to Ned and Gerald.
I doubt it. I would imagine he's going to go back to England. And
you think they'll bring them back again?
Have meetings back again.
I didn't know if this was like a Mr. Whitaker goes to the Middle East kind of a thing or not. Exactly.
Yes, who knows? Who knows?
Funny. Huh.
Well, when they're first brought into Thebes, the king or the pharaoh of Egypt, Thutmose, allows the high priest, Amyras, to choose from these slaves. And so he selects, I started to say Beric. He selects Amuba and Amuba's protector, Jethro. And so when he introduces them to his family, his wife, who is played by Elizabeth Council, is not very thrilled to have these two strangers in her home. So let's listen to her attitude here about bringing these foreigners into her home.
We do not know how fortune will deal with us. We may find ourselves in a very different position someday.
Oh, you may, husband, but I will not. Fortune has placed us where we are because we deserve it. The same with these two. They deserve to be slaves, and so they are.
I will not place them anywhere near you. I do not wish your difficult life to be troubled.
Probably not a happy marriage.
Burn. Burn. Ooh.
And it's funny. She goes on and on talking about them in, like, in Egypt tongue, and they speak it.
Yeah.
And then when she finds out that they speak it and they've heard all of her insults, she just doesn't even care.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have
very
to say,
high and mighty.
Yeah. I have to say that high priest's line about we may find, and that kind of like running theme to the whole thing is like, you may find yourself in a different position.
Yep.
Like, be careful how you treat people because you might be serving them one day. That has stuck with me like the last month, several months, and like just been like rolling over my mind. Just like that idea. It's like, wow. Yeah. You never know. Like you might just be like serving, you know, like be careful how you treat people, you know?
Yeah.
Like it really makes you stop and think. And
don't look down on that McDonald's employee.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Whatever it may be.
They could be your boss one day.
Yeah. You know?
Who knows? Yeah. What's interesting too is like the idea that Ameres, right? So we know that he's the high priest of Osiris. So very powerful guy. And I'm not 100% proficient in ancient Egyptian religions. But I don't think the high priest of Osiris would have that kind of attitude. You know what I mean? That Ameres displays from the very beginning. Mm. So it kind of like gives you a hint that something is up.
Yeah.
Like this guy is one of the most powerful people in Egypt, who is basically the most powerful country in the world at the time. And he is teaching things that are basically straight out of the Bible. And you're like, what? That's interesting. And as the story develops, my instincts were correct. Something,
you know what's
something
pretty,
is up.
Yeah, he's a seeker. He's a searcher of truth. And
yeah, exactly.
It's his job to know about many religions and different things.
Exactly. And secretly, he is... not exactly worshiping Osiris when he goes and makes sacrifices.
Right.
Yep.
You know what was interesting to me? Did you guys catch like the two like New Testament references in here?
One of them was the truth will set you free. And that's the one I picked up. What was the other one?
I can't remember what it was, but I think they say it in there somewhere. I thought it was two. I wish I wrote the second one down, but I remember that
one. I wish
one.
You had two.
Yeah. Oh, what kind of good reporter here, Roy?
Top men.
Yeah.
Top men. Professionals.
I thought it was two, but it could have just been one. But I thought it was two. I just remembered it in my mind. I was like, Jordan and I looked at it. We're listening to him like, wait, what? Wait a second.
My first instinct was that it feels a little bit out of place, but you know, it's definitely.
Yeah, definitely possible.
It's truth. Truth is not set in one particular era. So,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting.
One thing that really kind of struck me as odd was that I thought it was interesting that a high priest, okay, he's the high priest of Osiris, technically a religious man. What was he doing designing a canal and traveling around the country, kind of supervising construction projects and stuff? I thought that was a little bit odd that a priest would be doing that kind of thing.
So when I was listening to the Our Oriental Heritage by Will Durant as part of his first volume, I think, of the story of civilization, I recall from reading that book that the priests of Egypt were almost more powerful than the pharaoh. That the religion was so important that they basically ran the country, and taxes went to the priests, not necessarily to the government, you know. So it was they had their hands in everything.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah,
But some of my favorite performances from this are definitely Amaris, Ian Cullen as Amaris, and Emily Woodward as Misha. I think those characters, those performances were super, super good.
Yes, and
Peter Morton as Jethro.
Yeah. He did an really excellent job, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
His voice is really cool.
Daniel Philpott was Neko, who was also really good. And Rosanna Miles as Ruth, another really good performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was excellent.
So there's that one whole section where Rabba is teaching Amuba and Chevron about hunting and stuff like that. And this character we've already mentioned, he's just really hilarious. But they're out in the, you know, in the wilderness, I guess, and they're camping out there and they're eating. They had a dinner and he says, roasted fowl on cattail shoots. Oh, my favorite, or something like that. I'm like, cattail shoots, like, that just sounds disgusting.
Yeah.
That's funny. I didn't even catch that.
Like, yeah. What would be the shoots? Is that like the stalk part or the top that's all fuzzy?
It would be the stalk part. Yeah, the shoot.
Huh.
It's interesting.
I never ever knew that anybody ever ate cattails.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, seriously.
Wow.
But during that same part, they're out there on this hunting trip. And that's when we get introduced to the character of Ruth. And this is how that happens.
What was that?
It was either Rabba doing some kind of call or... A girl! Quick!
Chevron grabbed his spear and darted off at full speed in the direction of the screen, followed closely by Amuba and Jethro. They ran 50 yards along the bank and suddenly came upon the source of the cry. An immense crocodile was dragging a girl into the river. Chevron did not hesitate for a moment. He ran up to the animal and brought down the shaft of his spear with all of his strength on its neck. The crocodile released its prey and now turned to face its attackers.
Oh, JD.
Oh, seriously.
Man. Left us hanging.
I love that part.
Yeah.
The crocodile fight.
Yeah.
And it turns out to be a very pivotal moment in the story.
It's an intense part, man. Like, up till then, it's been like, okay, but like, there's been some scenes or whatever. But this fight with the crocodile, it's like, you are just like, fish clenched on your seat. Like, what's going to happen? Like,
mm-hmm.
Surely, like, nothing bad happens. Like, right? I mean, come on. But it's like, really intense. It's like, wow.
And we talked about this off mic, but I think it's important to mention this, that this is like the first Hinty audio drama that hasn't had a major war going on, and it's like continual battles and stuff. So this is very different from what they've done in the past.
Yeah. It's kind of refreshing, almost.
Yeah.
Because we love Jay Hinty, and we love their quality, and we know we're going to get a great story, but a lot of what they've done is a lot of battles and stuff. And this story has its battles. Like, you know, mm-hmm. the beginning and the end. But for the most part, the main story is just a story. It's neat.
It's very much following yeah. the lives of these
yeah.
individuals. And it's very much tied into biblical stories
yeah.
as well. So it's not just historical drama. It's got a lot of ties to biblical characters and principles and the whole thing of the Israelites being slaves in Egypt. It's yeah. really interesting. The
land of Goshen and everything.
Yeah.
And then even down to like when someone dies, the mummification process mm-hmm. and everything. And then you have the embalmer and like, yep. you know, all these like.
A 40-day mourning period.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty interesting. They would mourn for a long time. They would also, like when it came time for celebration, mm-hmm. they would celebrate for a long time.
Yeah. It has a lot of the Egyptian culture and traditions and a lot of stuff in there that was just really fascinating. But the funny thing, though, is, I, like you mentioned, the cat of Bubastes is not like a huge part until we get, I think, at least into the second half,
yeah,
right?
Second CD. Yeah, second part.
And the cat's name is Pausis.
Yeah.
Which I have no idea what that means, but it's interesting that we don't really get a good tie-in to the title until the end, and even then
it still doesn't seem like
a
much
huge part.
Yeah, it yeah. still doesn't seem like a whole lot. Yeah, and it's not a perfect cat. It's more than perfect. You gotta go and see what that's all about. You gotta listen and see what that's all about. But it's really crazy to like how the Egyptians are just like so just like steeped in like this. They took cats so seriously, man. Like, wow. I'm afraid to say more to ruin the story, but
yeah.
It's like they take cats. Like, you better not mess with their cats. But
and not just cats, though. Even like crocodiles
true.
Are sacred
crocodiles,
and,
yeah.
in certain districts of Egypt, which was interesting, too.
Yeah. Which led to questioning. Good questioning.
Yeah. It's hard to go into much more. The whole second half,
yeah.
there's a ton of different spoilers that that I don't want to get into, but there's a lot of things in there that can't really address because it's a major plot point, and so I don't want to get into that. But overall, it's another home run of production quality, acting, music, everything.
Mm-hmm. And it was even a home run with the whole story being set in a different scene than what is typical to Henty audio dramas, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And what's really cool is like you get past all the cat stuff and you get past like all this and it feels like the story should be over. But it keeps going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's really they cool. tie in the beginning, like to, it all comes back around full circle and it's like, oh, you think it's over, but no, like you know, Amuba still has to like has a place to fill and like has to make a decision about like, is he going to stay quiet and let people take him over, or is he going to like make a decision and do something?
Right.
Yeah, it's really cool, and I like the way that they tie it all back to God's plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Throughout the whole thing.
Yeah,
it's really awesome.
And Amuba is played by Akintunde Esuruoso. I hope I'm saying that properly, but
good job.
Yeah.
Really, really good job on that character. This actor was just amazing. Highly recommend this one. I will say it's not my favorite G.A. Hinty. I still think Freedom's Cause is right up there. It's my top one, but I really did enjoy this one a lot. The last thing on this is at the very end, G.A. Hinty, played by Brian Blessed, he says something about, in his letter to Ned and Gerald, he says something about the 14th of July, and he says, oh, but that's a story for another time, or whatever he says, you know.
His so classic like, line at the end.
Yeah, I'm like, what is the significance of that date? I'm not sure what he's hinting at, so.
Ha ha! What is Hinty hinting at?
Yeah. Mm. I didn't look it up, so they left us with a cliffhanger.
I like how they do that. They drop, like, little hints about upcoming stories.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Link in the show notes if you want to purchase your copy of The Cat of Bubastes.
So, what do you think of the show?
Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, Audio Theater Central.
Hey, guys, this is Austin Peachy.
Hello, JD, Roy, and Andrew. My name is Victoria.
Now, yesterday, I received a letter from a big fan.
No time to chat. I've got to email this.
Another package for me today.
No, it's actually just your mail.
All right, it's our feedback time where we get to hear from you, the listener. You send in your text, your emails, your voicemails, all your feedback, and we like to hear it. And so we're going to start off today in the feedback section with an email from Rachel K. She says, when I've heard your discussions about radio shows, aversion to brand names, I couldn't help but think of this one from Jonathan Park and The Journey Never Taken. Grandpa Benjamin is trying to get help, and he tells the junior response team he's going to use his Boysenberry smartphone. she says, I think that might be one of the funniest ones yet, Rachel. Wow. Boysenberry smart. You know, that just like, that's awful. I'm sorry.
It's hilarious.
Because all I can think of about Boysenberry is if you haven't not yet, you need to treat yourself to Knott's Berry Farms funnel cake with boysenberry sauce loaded ice cream and whipped cream. It's the most amazing thing in the world.
So I've never had that, but I have had the boysenberry syrup at IHOP, which is amazing stuff too.
Yeah.
I love boysenberries. So that's hilarious. But it made me think of on Green Ring Conspiracy, the appleberry.
Appleberry, you know?
There's
just
so many
say apple. It's okay. Just say it.
Yeah, it's just the name of a fruit.
If Kids Corner can say Google, you can say Apple. So
that's true. They don't. They don't shy away from brand names on there.
They say it all the time. Yeah,
we need to just free advertising.
Yeah, it's free advertising. Like, why wouldn't a company not want their name mentioned?
Well, I think it's the other way around. It's like they don't want to endorse a product without getting sponsership money. I bet that's
what that could be.
Yeah. There you go.
Don't want to give them free
advertising. You can fund your audio drama by just...
Product placement.
There you go. Why not? They used to do it all the time.
Yep.
Kellogg's Corn Pops.
Exactly.
You know? Why not?
That's right.
Yep.
Okay, there's an idea for somebody.
Kickstarter. Johnson's Glow Coat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no kidding.
Look, waxy.
So we also got a text from Richard, and he says... Actually, he's asking a question. Is the character of Jack Allen named for Jack Benny and Fred Allen? Which is a good question.
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent question. I can't believe I never thought of that before.
A great question for the audio drama database, which we are.
So Nathan Hubler actually gave us a response on this because we used our connections to ask him the question. Our connections being an email address. And he says, I don't think so. Of course, Alan was a reference to the actor's first name, Alan. And Jack is a version of John, and he was stepping in for John Avery Whitaker.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
which makes sense.
Yeah. So evidently, he reached out to Phil Lawler. So evidently, Phil was the one who created that character.
Yes.
So I never thought about that before, but I've read other stories where a character's name is John, but he goes by the nickname of Jack.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that makes a lot of sense. I just think that's interesting that Richard picked up on that, because that would have been absolutely perfect if that was the case.
Yeah, totally. On a lot of levels.
Well, we also got a comment on the blog on our review of The Brinkmans Season 4, Episode 78, from Ian Boltman, who is the writer and producer of The Brinkman Adventures.
Ooh.
And he was replying actually to Sarah Grace's comment about the length of the episodes, which we had talked about in that review. And he said that The Brinkman Adventures episodes are all 25.55 minutes long for two reasons. First, we want to pack as much audio drama as possible onto a CD, and 3 25-minute, 55-second episodes nearly completely fill the CDs we use. The second reason for this is radio stations appreciate this length, and the constancy is what he says. I'm not sure if he meant constancy or consistency, but he also said to accomplish this, we never time stretch or compress our episodes to get them to fit. Rather, we edit the music and dialogue until we hit the magic number. You wouldn't believe how tough losing a minute of your show to the cutting floor can be. The issue is fresh, as one of our editors and me spent several hours today on an episode we plan to release in November. While painful, in the end, it improves the episodes by refining them and cutting the weaker lines.
Interesting.
I thought that was fascinating. And I can totally understand. I can see how difficult that would be to try to hit that exact number every single time. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, yeah. It's got to be 25.55. And then, like, usually... depending on what DAW you have, then it's 0, 0, 0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hundredths of a second.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if they get down that close.
Wow. That is impressive. That is like, when I saw this comment, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. That is amazing.
And to do it without any time stretching or compressing. I mean, that is so impressive.
Like, you can only take out so much, you know?
It's crazy. It's just,
that's amazing.
It's really impressive.
That is detail,
from
folks.
Writing, from it. That's crazy.
That is attention to detail.
I don't think the Odyssey's even that meticulous about it.
No, they're all over the place on their times most of the time. I mean, usually they're like 24 and something, but it's not exactly like, you know?
It's interesting.
But thank you, Ian, for clarifying that for us, because if I remember right, we were discussing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before we head out the door, a few little audio drama tidbits here. I want to say thank you to everyone who has participated in our 2016 survey. Really appreciate the feedback we're getting on that. If you haven't done that yet, there's a link in the show notes, or you can head over to pfm.link/ATC survey and fill that out. It only takes a few minutes, and it really helps us know where to take the show next and what we're doing good, what we can improve on, that kind of thing. So we would really appreciate if you would do that. Next up, just a quick reminder that Kids Corner's new season is still airing a few more weeks. It's going to continue through the month of November 2016. And they've been putting out some really good shows lately.
Oh, yeah. You have to check this out. It's amazing.
Yep.
I have just become addicted to it. It is really cool.
All their new episodes are at kidscorner.net or whatever podcatcher you use to subscribe to our show. Just type in Kids Corner in the search section and you'll find them.
That's the coolest thing. Yep. Right on, it comes out like right on the feed in the podcast. Like, what a great idea.
Yep.
So.
And they're doing some really good stuff, as you probably heard in our recent show where we talked with some of the writers over there. So John Fornoff's on the team. Kathy Buchanan's on the team. So new stuff coming out from them. It's good. It's good stuff. And also want to say thank you to those who ordered your Hal's Diner t-shirt. We appreciate your support of ATC. Just a big thank you to everyone who put in an order for that. If you haven't received it already, they should be arriving at your door very, very soon. And also wanted to mention that the team at Coral Island Adventures, by the way, if you haven't checked them out, they're a really good series as well. Very similar in theme and focus to the Jonathan Park series, as they talk a lot about creation aspect of things. And so it's very interesting. But they have launched a complimentary science club website for kids, and it's called Kids Find Truth. And it's got a lot of science info from a biblical point of view. So it's really good information. The website is at kidsfindtruth.com, and it's completely free to sign up and get all of that content. So link in the show notes for that if you want to check that out. And lastly, just want to say thank you to all of you who have sent in your photos for our ATC Wall of Fame.
Yeah.
If you haven't done it yet, go ahead and send yours in. We want to just keep adding to this and see how many we can get. And it's just fun. It's really fun seeing these cool people who listen to our show, and they're willing to send in their photo, so we can, you know, learn a little bit about our listeners. And right now I'm looking at Aaron and Elizabeth and Matthew and the other Matthew and Ezra, and so it's just really cool. And I just want to say thank you to all of you who've sent yours in. And if you haven't yet, send yours to 623-688-2770. Just send fire off a quick text message, and we'll add you to the wall.
That's right.
Any final thoughts, guys? What have you guys been listening to lately?
So I just went back recently and listened to Oliver Twist.
Oh.
That's really funny, because I thought
nice.
I thought about before we started the show, that'd be cool to do like a little segment. What have you been listening to lately? Because I know we listen to obviously what we review, but
sure.
We all listen to stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, we just went back and listened to – actually, we went back and listened to Les Mis and Oliver Twist. Focus on the family. So
how was it, like, after not listening to Oliver Twist for a few years, probably, right? Like,
yeah. It was still as intense as ever.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I was like, at first I was like, oh, but it's so dark, I don't want to. And Jordan was like, oh, come on, let's just listen to it, you know, because we need something to listen to. And so we did.
Yeah.
Nice.
We did it again. And even listening to it again, still stuff, just picking up on stuff, you know, just like, wow, this is amazing.
That's awesome. I need to listen to that one again.
Yeah.
What about you, Andrew?
Yeah, what do you think,
Andrew? I've been listening to all kinds of stuff because of my teaching. When I finish the lesson for the day and the kids are working on homework, hey, it's time to listen to audio drama.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Cool.
So Father Gilbert is nice. Popular. We're going through G.A. Henty with one of the classes. Started down Gilead Lane with a math class, and, you know, we're just hitting everything all over the place.
That's awesome.
We listened to Sorry, Wrong Number in a study hall once.
Really?
The kids really wanted to hear it. So,
if you don't know that one, that is like classic, like one of the most well-known episodes of old-time radio of all time. Yeah. Sorry, Wrong Number. If you haven't heard it, it is a great, great show.
What about you, JD?
Well, I've actually been listening to some old-time radio and some old-time radio westerns, and actually listened to Orson Welles' version of Les Miserables, which he did. And it is so good. It's really, really good.
Wow.
I was so excited to find that. And so I wrote a whole blog post about it, a little bit of behind the scenes and links to to the episodes on AudioTheaterCentral.com. So if you haven't heard that, check it out. It's a really great adaptation, similar in length to the Focus on the Family Radio Theater version, but it's interesting to hear a different writer's perspective on this story. So it's really good. It's really good. So that's what I've been listening to. And of course, just dipping my toe into all different kinds of shows, checking what's out there. Here's a little hint for you, listener. We're going to be focusing on some NPR audio dramas coming up. So that's also something that I've been checking out, and some BBC stuff as well. So
cool.
Good stuff coming up.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of audio drama that's going to be coming out in the next few months. So we're going to be trying to focus on as much of it as possible. So as always, AudioTheaterCentral.com is the place to be to find out about what's going on in the audio drama world. So thank you so much for joining us for this episode. Links to everything we talked about is at AudioTheaterCentral.com/85. If you want to get in touch with us, head over to AudioTheaterCentral.com/contact. And I have a favor to ask of you. If you have been listening to the show for any length of time and you haven't given us a review on iTunes, we would really appreciate that. We would consider that a personal favor if you would do that for us. Head over there and just give us an honest rating and review, and just let us know what you think of the show. That really helps us get the word out, because there's an algorithm, if you don't know what that is, Google it. But there's an algorithm in iTunes that whenever people, there's activity on our page in iTunes, it helps get the word out to other people who might be interested in the show. So that would really help us. So we would really appreciate it if you would do that. So thank you for doing that in advance. And again, links to everything, audiotheatercentral.com/85. We will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening. Audio Theater Central is a production of Porchlight Family Media. Our theme music was composed by Sam Avendano. The show is produced and edited by yours truly, and our website is audiotheatercentral.com. Are we ready to get out of here, meow?
Meow.
If you are interested in the music side of audio drama, you should check out Jared DePasquale's website. He posts cues that he's working on all the time. He's got some stuff for the new Brinkmans up there that you can check out. It's jareddepasquale.com. And he's got stuff for the new Air Theater that he's doing. Some really, really great music by a fantastic composer. So check that out if you're interested.
From the simmering. Can you replay that? I was wondering why you were texting people at 1 o'clock this morning. It's like, dude, late. You need to go to bed.
I know. It's late.
Where were we?
We just finished the RV trailer.
The trailer.
I should have learned how to say good in Egyptian.
Where were we? Where were we?
I have no idea.
Oh, man. What were we saying?
I give up. Enough of this early morning stuff, Roy.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.